Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductee and Sprint Car and Midget Magazine editor, Doug Auld. And Doug, 2020 was an unusual year, but still, there was some great racing for the fans out there.
Yeah, very true. I mean, unusual is kind of an understatement, but, you know, the thing is, not only was the racing really good in the past, I've written columns, Pat Sullivan's written columns in Sprint Car Midget, we don't have a down season. We never have a time where people don't have racing, and I think it's almost a negative to our sport. If you follow, you know, if you follow football, the NFL shuts down at some period, and you have a few months where you can't watch it, and so when it comes back, you're just, you're roaring for it, you're wanting it, you've been waiting for it. And this is really the first time in years racing has had that. And you can see by how many tickets some of these places have been selling and how many people they've had to turn away because of limits. The good that came out of the bad was for some people they had for the first time in years a time when they couldn't go to a race and maybe they'd started to take it for granted a little bit or something like that. And so the excitement for the racing this year, I mean, people were watching iRacing on major networks just to get their fix. And so then when it came back, you know, Terry McCarlin, you know, ran really one of the first races back in the country, and people were ready for it and more excited probably than ever. So it's really been, despite all the madness and weirdness, the racing season's been fantastic.
Doug, I think when I think back to the 2020 racing season, the word resiliency comes into my head. Track promoters figuring out innovative ways to go on with the racing season and drivers adapting to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Speed Sport TV just launched the end of last year, and the timing couldn't have been more perfect. I think a lot of the promoters that were on the fence about whether to go to streaming races really had no option in 2020. That just became the norm in a lot of events. That was the only way you could see it. And to see places like Knoxville, or I went out and dropped some things off for somebody at Eldora during the governor's reign, and to see all the rigs in the infield and see everybody there and race day and ready to race and not a soul in the parking lot and not a soul in the stands was just a weird, you know, kind of bizarre feeling. And, of course, the whole event took place by streaming. And so that's been a big change for 2020. Like you said, how promoters looked at being able to have races was just really a show of how innovative some of our people are in this sport and how dedicated they are.
Speaking of Eldora, what an incredible place. And I'm sure for you personally, it had to be really tough to see the limited schedule at that track, knowing how much those events mean to the drivers, to the fans, and also the revenue that it brings into the surrounding communities.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, not to get into politics, but this year, how arbitrary some of the decisions were that were being made by governors and health officials, I found disturbing that you could have one track that they okayed and another track that they didn't okay. And a place like Eldora, for example, you've got a lot of room to spread out there. And yet they weren't able to compete most of their events where some of the smaller tracks were, which I'm thankful that they were. And some of it went down to district by district, you know, in their county or their area. They were a little more lenient or a little more understanding. But across the country, we saw that where there was choosing of winners and losers, for sure, of which tracks were allowed to compete and which tracks weren't. And that was pretty disturbing, honestly, to see play out.
I think the story of the year in 2020 has been Kyle Larson. His quote, "I wanted to show everyone that I deserve to be in the highest levels of racing."
Yeah, well, and he did. He's 42, 43 races. I'm not sure what the count is after the Bettenhouse 100 yesterday, but it's over a 50% win ratio for the year. And Kyle was always an incredible talent. The first year where he came out and really, his breakout year, he didn't just win a World Outlaws race, he won the Gold Cup. He didn't just win a USAC race, he won all three of the open wheel divisions of the Four Crown. Any one of those races are a career race for a driver to say, yeah, I won the, you know, the sprint car portion of the Four Crown or Eldora, or I won the Gold Cup out of Chico. That's a career race. And he was winning multiple career races from his breakout year and just kept on going. And phenomenal talent. in every rank. And I actually take exception to a remark I saw by a NASCAR driver, or ex-NASCAR driver on Twitter, that said, Kyle Larson is back, when it was announced that he's reinstated for NASCAR. He never left. He's been winning with the World of Outlaws and the All-Star Circuit Champions and USAC. These are premier divisions. And he's been, had an outstanding year. And, you know, I think at this point, NASCAR needs Kyle a lot more than Kyle needs NASCAR. He's shown this season he could have a tremendous career as a race car driver, just as Steve Kenser, Donnie Schatz, you know, a number of others have, running sprint cars. And now he's been doing well in the late models as well, too.
What is your favorite memory from the 2020 racing season?
Wow, that's almost an oxymoron. Your favorite part of the worst year in history? I don't know. I think I don't know if there's a specific moment. I agree with basically what you said earlier, kind of the resiliency of our sport and the dedication of everyone involved in our sport, from the drivers, the promoters, the racing series, to the fans, obviously. And I was really impressed with Brian Carter at the World of Outlaws and everybody on that team, and with Levi Jones and everybody on the USAC team, and how these guys, and that's not to slight any of the other series, Power Eye, obviously, Kenny Brown and Power Eye, how these guys around the country and ASCS, and I keep telling people I can't leave out here, but how they dealt with it, and we rolled through it and were able to put on races for our fans and keep our drivers out there and keep our tracks going. This is a major threat. The music industry right now is in major turmoil, because these small venues in particular, so many of them are done. They've closed up. They're not going to reopen. And so you're seeing some charity events by musicians. Luckily, we had series promoters and promoters that were able to keep some of these tracks going. And with, you know, the help of streaming services like Speed Sport TV and some of the others that are out there, and with promoters being able to at least put some fans in the stands at most of their events, we easily could have lost a number of racetracks this year.
I am a big fan of Sprint Car and Midget magazine because of the in-depth stories, the behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to be an open-wheel driver or an open-wheel team.
Yeah, it's not an easy life, you know, and for the guys, and again, I remember there was a couple races in a row this season that NASCAR had to run, and there were some guys complaining about that. So, oh my God, we had to run two or three times in a row here. And I look at the World of Outlaws teams and some of the just guys who run an outlaw schedule, or the guys who run Indiana Sprint Week or Pennsylvania Sprint Week or Ohio Sprint Week, where they'll run seven or eight or sometimes nine nights in a row. And that's just what they do. And they get a car ready, and sometimes they wreck and they have a car rebuilt. You know, they're there till 6 in the morning and, you know, rebuilding a new car and ready to race the next night at the next racetrack. And it takes a lot. And a lot of times the NASCAR garages are a lot nicer than some of the pits and some of the places where our guys are rebuilding sprint cars. And they do it. It's part of what they do. It's a hard life. It's a dedicated life. But our guys race because they want to race. They're hardcore racers. No wine and cheese guys here.
I had Hall of Fame Iowa late model driver Gary Crawford on the show earlier this season, and he said he raced 21 nights in a row one time. It makes me tired just thinking about it.
It's true. And I grew up in the Northeast, where the modifieds used to run about a month and a half to 2 months, where they'd run every night of the week. And that was pretty standard for them. The race season wasn't all that long. And between the big blocks and the 358s, that was just normal for them, you know. And again, with our sprint car guys, the same thing. When you get Ohio Sprint Week or Pennsylvania Sprint Week, Indiana Midget Week, and, you know, all these different events. And our guys are rebuilding cars. I mean, when you tear up a sprint car, you tear it up pretty good, where you're down to stripping down and building up from a new frame and building an entire car by the next morning, and then towing to another track and racing that night, and maybe then doing it again all over again the next night. And that's what our guys do. And I love guys who race because they love to race. You look at the careers of guys like Steve Kenser or Doug Wolfgang. Doug Wolfgang didn't have shoes when he was a kid. Saw this opportunity with sprint car racing. A guy like Steve Kenser would have probably ended up in the mills out there working or laying bricks like his dad, and instead saw this opportunity to race sprint cars. Steve Kenser didn't retire because he got tired of racing sprint cars. He still wanted to race at his age. These guys have so much passion for it, and they're willing to sleep on people's couches and do what they have to in the most adverse conditions to rebuild race cars and get them on the track, and then go out and do it again the next night. And there's so much passion in our sport. It's what I love about it. Why, you know, I've spent all my life in sprint car racing and not chasing the NASCAR thing.
Now is a great time of year to order Sprint Car and Midget magazine for yourself or a family member or a friend for the holidays. What's the best way to find out more information and how to do that, Doug?
Probably just best way is go online to sprintcarandmidget.com, and you have to spell out the and. That's the way the internet makes us do it. But sprintcarandmidget.com, and we've also got some great new shirts on there, and that would be the easiest way to go online. There's also a phone number if you want to call in and place your order instead of placing it online.
Doug, it's always great having you on the Dirt Show and your outlook on the 2020 season. Thank you so much for being with us here on the show.
Oh, I always appreciate you having me on, Clayne. Thank you.